The following is a presentation of Mouth Media Network.
Rebecca Minkoff. She's known today as one of the most innovative fashion brands in the United States, the largest female brand led by a millennial designer. How crazy is that? From Snapchat, See Now By Now, to wearables, to retail technology, Rebecca and Yuri, her brother and CEO, they are eager to try it all if it aligns with their consumers. I've known them both since 2011, what I call the birth of fashion tech. And I've interviewed both many, many, many times. I sat down with Rebecca Minkoff at South by Southwest for the launch of her Always Own Bag, a partnership with Avery Dennison. Just another interview? Well, not really. Where our live audience and I did not expect was being part of the most fun and candid conversation we have ever had. Whether you are super familiar with the Minkoffs or not, you are sure to enjoy it. I have to apologize in advance for my voice, which I was really, really losing. But lucky for me, no one will remember that. Rebecca was just way too good for that to matter. I'm Liz Bacelar, and this is Top Talk.
Fashion is Your Business presents Top Talk with your host, Liz Bacelar.
All right, everyone, we're recording live here in Austin, Top Talk, during South by Southwest Festival. And I'm so glad to doing this episode with someone who I really, 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 really love. So here with me today is fashion powerhouse, Rebecca Minkoff.
Thank you, Liz.
I'm so glad you made it to Austin this year. And I think back of when I met you in 2012, when you were becoming known for revamping marketing and your new approach in influence and social, the first brand to leverage Instagram and Facebook, connecting consumers in an authentic way, not just social media, but authentic. Now today, you're an inspiration for brands and retailers all around you. How has been this transition to you from growing brands to now innovation leader?
I think it's a path that has been not easy to get to, and I think that every day we still feel the struggle is real. I think as an entrepreneur, you never lose that fight. You never lose that feeling that you're clawing your way to the top, and that is a feeling that my brother and I definitely still carry with us every day, either that or we're just neurotic. But I think that what we did was we took a chance. We said, let's embrace our consumer. Let's make her the priority, and every decision that we make follows from that. So it's been a clear path, but one that has not been easy because you're changing people's views, people's habits. And while it is normal now to embrace your consumer, in my industry, it's still somewhat broken and people are clinging on to, I would say, the 80s or the 90s in the way that they wish fashion would still remain. So it's constantly an education and take a risk. But we've learned that by taking the road not taken, that's where we succeed. And so now we can really lean into that and be a lot less scared.
You like to say that you like to think of your consumers as friends, and there's this constant mention of friendship. What do you mean by that?
So early on, when I began to talk to our consumer back in 2005, when forums and blogs were just beginning, when I began to talk to her on these forums and get her ideas directly without the filter of a buyer or an editor, I began a one-on-one dialogue that became extremely powerful. And I was talked out of it. I was told I'm a designer. I should stay in my ivory tower. It is what I deem correct, that they should then be so lucky to have my extremely, you know, artistic vision and be blessed with it. And I just felt that that was wrong. I felt like this is a two-way communication and I'm only as good as, you know, someone who is happy at the end of the day with my product. And if I don't listen to her, I probably won't be here. So we listened to her early on with, you know, what's the size of the bag? How heavy should it be? What, you know, what colors do you want? To early crowdsourcing, where I would say if 20 of you women get together, and you want a pink zipper on your black bag? Awesome, I'll make it. So I think that we've evolved that dialogue, you know, to different contests we offer or competitions we do with our consumer, that she definitely feels like I'm listening, she has a voice, and we keep the dialogue going on every social channel that we can so that she never feels like I got too big, I got too fancy, I got too egotistical, that I'm above her, and keeping that authentic, not for the new buzzword of, you have to be authentic, but we actually are authentic.
Well, you
still authentic. And it did not get too big on your head. You got too big as a brand because the growth has been amazing. But one thing that we have gotten, Rebecca, you and I, we have gotten older.
We have.
I know. So how does that challenge evolve? Because you're the designer of the girls, and now the girls are having babies.
This is true. We make diaper bags now. So I think what we wanted to do was take an idea and a mentality and not an age. So it is a mindset. The majority of our consumer is a millennial, but that's also a mindset that you can be not a millennial and embrace the idea of what a lot of millennial values are. So I think it's constantly being, you know, true to our brand. We're optimistic. We're whimsical. We're inspiring women to lead a more fearless life. So if you're 65 or 18, those are all things that you probably want. And that's what we want to give to you as a brand.
One shared love that we have, you and your brother, Yuri, is our great love for technologies and startups. And you guys are known to be the first, one of the go-to brands for entrepreneurs to have their ideas validated. And this allows you to do many things before everybody else, like see now, buy now is one of the things. Why that race? And it's funny, like it became really this ping pong between you and Yuri, like leveraging all these ideas that are thrown at you.
So I think it started very organically. It started with, you know, the breaking down of the barrier that I could be in touch with my consumer. Then it began, as each new social platform arose, it began a way for us to have a dialogue. And as we talk about the future and the Internet of Things and interconnectivity, we want to be the first in to be that test case, try something. We're not a brand that's burdened by hundreds of years or even 50 plus years of a way of people thinking about us and thinking what we should do. And because we've been fearless in our approach to trying new technologies, some failing, as we just talked about, and some doing extraordinarily well, we get the permission from the consumer and from the industry of they're going to try it and we're going to see them and it's okay if they fail. But we get that permission that we can try all sorts of new innovations because we've shown that when we embrace technology, the consumer wins and we win.
So that is the embracing technology, this lack of hesitation to really try something new. But does that really contribute to the growth of the brand?
Definitely. I would say, you know, from the moment we launched our connected stores, you know, the amount of tours we do for other brands and other companies, but also the consumer saying, thank God, finally someone fixed a dressing room experience. Or thank God, now I can tailor my shopping experience to what I want. And I think just that alone, the growth we've seen since we announced our connected stores has been incredible.
So one of the things that we are showing here, we are at the current mansion here at South by Southwest, is your latest tech baby. Come on, tell me a little bit about the Always On bag.
So the Always On bag was an approach to take something that is lifeless and dead and bring it to life. And a woman always will have a bag for the most part with her. So how do you actually make her life even easier and make almost the bag work for you? So we were able to partner with Avery Dennison and the software platform Janella in truly making the bag come alive. So what we wanted to do was twofold. One, we have a huge wholesale business, and that's a customer that we don't have any way to reach. We don't have any way to reach her post-sale. It's all, you know, data that the wholesaler owns. So how do we continue a dialogue with her post-transaction, but then also how do we deepen the relationship with our consumer, whether she purchases in-store from us or online? So there's going to be a QR code on the outside of the bag that the customer can scan. And that'll show you future things that you're able to unlock with experiences, rewards. And if you decide to opt in, there's a QR code that is on the inside of the bag that will show you content, rewards. And the more you keep coming back and using that bag, the more it'll give you certain VIP experiences. Think of it as, you know, your Delta Sky Miles, but for your bag, and as well as content. So it's really a way that you can, once again, have a deeper dialogue and connection to your customer. And we can actually capture the, you know, hundreds of thousands of women that are buying my bags through other channels and begin a new dialogue with them.
See, I think of brands, all brands that I talk to, so many friends that struggle to grow their business because most of their business is wholesale. And when most of your business is wholesale, you don't have that direct connection to who your customer is. You don't know if the age group, you don't know if they still with the item, if they engaged. And by using this kind of technology, it's kind of a brilliant way to stay connected beyond, regardless if it's wholesale, a wholesale purchase.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we've seen, direct to consumer is the way of the future. And so however I'm able to connect with her, whether she buys the bag at a department store or a specialty store, that deepening that connection is far more valuable than anything we could focus on.
It's funny. It's one of those things that retailers should embrace to preserve their own business.
They probably should. If they're listening, take a hint.
So what do you think will be the kinds of activities that they will be involved on? And is the bag already available for sale?
The bag is already available for sale. We launched it at our LA pop-up shop during New York Fashion Week. We had our show in LA, so we launched it there.
That's pretty cool.
As we get deeper into this partnership, you know, between, you know, maybe winning tickets to the fashion show or coming to see behind the scenes of, you know, me at work pre-fashion show or certain discounts or content, I think our goal is to keep it exciting so that you want to keep coming back and you want to keep wearing the bag.
Are you coming back from LA? I miss you.
Yes, we'll be there in September.
Please tell me. Okay, good. So the year I met you, you were expected to make $30 million in sales. And today you're way beyond over $100 million. And most interesting, the largest female brand with a millennial female designer.
That is a mouthful, right?
I know. Can we clap to that? Growth is hard as a brand.
It is.
We say hardware is hard. Growth as a brand is harder. And what is the secret here? It's not that long, and it's a lot of growth.
It feels like an eternity. I think there's a misconception with everything being at our fingertips, Uber, Amazon, that success can be Ubered, you know, or Amazon Prime, your way to success. And I think that that's probably the biggest misnomer and the biggest disappointment to entrepreneurs starting out is that it should be easy. And it's definitely not. I can't think of a single entrepreneur that has an easy story. If they did, I'd like to meet them and get their secret. But I think it's hard work. It's persistence. It's having an incredible network. It's having incredible staff. I feel lucky enough to work with 95% of the most incredible women. We have about 105 staff, and about say 95 are really strong, intelligent, incredible females. I know that's a rarity, especially in the tech industry. So that is something I'm very proud of. So I think it's the combination of all that and taking risk. I think as an entrepreneur, you have to take risk. You have to be willing to fail. We fail all the time. We don't share those secrets with you, but I can tell you that if we did, you'd be like, oh, okay, it's okay. They're messing up too.
And usually when you ask someone about success, you guys have seen many panels and interviews. They go, oh, what is your greatest challenge? But I want to take a different aim at it since Yuri is not here today. We're not going to tell him. What's it like to work with your brother?
We get this question a lot, actually.
I'm asking because I work with my sister.
So I would say partnership, no matter who you're working with, whether it's your brother, or there are obviously are challenges. I would say that the good outweighs the bad. I have someone who has my back, who has strengths that I don't have, that I can trust, that, you know, not that I shouldn't be looking at my employment contract, but if he's like, I got it, I've negotiated what's good for us, I go, cool, I trust you. So I think that there's a security in that. We do fight. Sometimes a lot, sometimes a little. We're on a good streak right now. We have not been fighting. but we also, 2 years ago, introduced going and seeing like a couples counselor, but for business owners.
And it's, oh, I should have done that.
It's amazing. You know, you have a safe space to be like, I hate when you do this and you're an asshole. Sorry, I hope I can swear on a podcast.
It's okay, we'll bleep it.
Okay, good. So I think that that's been incredible because then you have a third party who can say, this is how you should communicate to each other. This is how you should, sort of refocus. And, we've been getting along great since then.
You're no longer just a fashion designer and industry and icon. You're now on a TV show. The show was Project Runway Fashion Startup on Lifetime. I aired for the first time last year. Tell us about this experience. It was the first season. It was like a fashion tech shark tank. What was that like for you?
So it was an incredible experience. I learned a lot. I was sitting with three investors that are all CEOs of their companies. So I almost got a great mentorship on business. Just seeing other sides, other questions that they want to know. I came at a lot of the people who wanted investment with a branding and marketing and creative perspective. Meanwhile, the other people cared about their P&L and their balance sheets and customer acquisition. The first couple episodes, the director would say, your eyes are glazing over when the other investors are asking these questions. And I was like, I just care about the logo, okay? I care about the product and what it looks like. So I quickly removed the glaze from my eyes and sounded really interested in their balance sheet.
Did you invest in anything?
Yes, we did. We invested in a couple companies. One is called Fitbox. It is a fitness gear subscription box, but it's also an app. We invested in a company called Unitiques, which is a peer-to-peer just for college students to trade and buy and sell clothing. And then a company called IX Style, which makes these incredible Huarache shoes, and all the proceeds give clean water back to women in Guatemala.
You get pitched a lot. Is there what product that was pitched to you recently that you thought was really cool?
So Fashion Tech Labs had done a pre-pitch session where the entrepreneurs got to come pitch and we could give them feedback on what to make better. So there was a company called Siren, which I really liked. It is a ring. It reminds me of some rings that Gucci has in a good way. Big baubles. And she developed it for college campus students where the assault and attack rate is extremely high, that you twist the ring and it emits a sound. She did not demonstrate the sound to us because it will paralyze you.
A sound that will paralyze you. What the fuck?
Yes. So you don't want to turn that on by mistake.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So it emits it away from you, obviously, so that you're not paralyzed, and enough time for them to be paralyzed so that you can run. So I thought that was a really innovative product. It also looks good, which at the end of the day, for a woman, it has to look good and be something she would want to wear anyways.
Good. So all these entrepreneurs, they come to you because one of the things that you do a lot, aside from running a business and being a great mom, is sharing your knowledge and mentorship. So why is that so important to you? I set a lot of my own time for that, and it's work to be able to dedicate to that.
It is work. I think that without the mentorship that I had, I wouldn't be here. And so to just sort of sit back and say, cool, now I get to do whatever I want when I want and not give back, I think it's just not who I am. So whether it's, you know, the pitch sessions or the five companies that I mentor right now, or, you know, all the talks that I do, or the one-on-ones that I get asked to do, I think it's just my way of giving back and paying it forward.
I like this idea of giving back, paying forward, mentorship. We're going to talk more about this topic. But right now, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, more with designer Rebecca Minkoff on innovation and mentoring. Be right back with more Top Talk.
Hey, want to be part of the studio audience when Fashion Is Your Business has a live event? Here's your chance. Visit fashionisyourbusiness.com and request access to upcoming private live audience recording events in your area. Just click FIYB Live at the top of the page and then enter your information. That's fashionisyourbusiness.com and click FIYB Live.
So far in the interview, we've covered Minkoff, the fashion brand. Now let's deep dive into Minkoff, the social leader, and the causes she cares about. Yes! Right on, everyone. Welcome back. Rebecca, we were talking about mentorship before we went to the break. And one of your passions has been mentorship, but also for women and girls, right? So Tell me more about this work that you really started doing that last year about girls and careers and now also gender gap.
I think it became very clear when we were designing our fitting rooms. It was just men at the table. And they were going to be designing the user experience for a woman, probably the most hated experience being in the dressing room. And I think that when we also began to design our first wearable, it was a man sitting with me working on the bracelet design. And I'll never forget, he said, you know, the housing for the components has to be plastic. It can't be metal because the signal won't go through. And I said, well, it needs to be gold. And he said, well, just color the plastic gold. She won't even notice. And I was like, oh, yes, she will. Like, it unleashed the beast in me. Or when we worked on another wearable, and again, it was a male who was trying to design this big, almost amulet, the size of an egg for a necklace. And I said, a woman won't wear this. He said, well, it has to have charge to last all the time. And I was like, but women take their jewelry off, especially if it's like a big statement necklace. So you can have it charge on the nightstand. So all these were examples of there needs to be a woman at the table. And there are opportunities for women in technology that don't just mean you have to go work at a tech firm or a Google or a Facebook. Those are nice places to work, I'm sure. But that we are missing that dynamic and that personal user experience with those women at the table. So I began to do a lot of speaking at different college campuses. We spoke at Berkeley, Georgia Tech, UCLA, to get women who are in these STEM programs to stay with it and sort of broadening their universe of what is possible. So the panels that I hosted and had up there weren't women necessarily who are engineers at Google, but they were, you know, the founder of The RealReal, who has one of the largest fashion consignment.
Julie's great.
Julie's amazing, but opening her eyes of why does she need female engineers? Why does she need females in any type of STEM work on her team? Or the founder of Who, What, Where, you know, who has one of the largest media companies in the world now, and how she staffs her team. So really changing that conversation and getting more women to be excited about, I call the gold rush, and the opportunities available to them, so that they stay with it and that they can see that the brightest future they have is to continue their work with STEM.
I mean, if you think about it, yeah, tech, it's pretty obvious, but also in retail, of course, we have a lot of women, but we don't have a lot of women in decision-making positions.
Correct.
You have a team that has women in decision-making positions, but there are brands that don't.
Yes. I know we are extraordinarily lucky, being in fashion, that it is predominantly female. I know that is not the case. And so the more we can amplify that and show women it is possible, there are career paths for you, you know, that's my goal, to keep that going for reasons more than, you know, I have selfish reasons because I want to hire them, but also just that that's just the way it should be. We should be equal on all levels.
And that's one of the reasons why you're here at South by Southwest. This is your second South by Southwest, right?
Yes.
And you're speaking today?
I'm speaking in 30 minutes.
Oh my gosh. About this topic of gender gap.
Yes.
That is being a female entrepreneur. You talked about that. We know that. But like me, you have two little ones. You have Luke and Bowie. And I'm asked all the time, how do you do it all? I think you must have been asked this on a daily basis. How do you do it all? How do you answer it?
I usually answer it. Someone once said it's a beautiful hustle. It's a juggling act. I think there's, you know, days where I don't get to see them. There's days where I do. There's times where I brought my son along with me, even though he's really just hanging out with me in airplanes.
And he's here in Austin, right?
He's here in Austin. So he doesn't realize what he signed up for, flying in and flying out in 2 days. But I think it's taking those moments where I can pack in as much as I can. And, you know, if I work late 2 nights a week, the other nights I'm out of the office at 6. It might drive someone, I've already spoken about, crazy. But as a mom, you know, I'm going to be home to make my kids dinner, to put them to bed. I devote my weekends to them. So I'm very always aware of, you know, I have in my head sort of an accounting system of how many hours, you know, what do I have to give and take? And it's not always equal, but my sort of measuring point is, how are they doing? You know, I know the last trip I took was one of my longer ones. It was 6 days, and that was too long. They did not do well. They were upset when I got home. Good. I know now, like, 6 days is the max. So I think I'm always trying to be mindful of that.
Whether it's kids or other responsibility, when you're trying to when you aim at very large goals, when you're trying to achieve very big things, it's all about creating that compromise, whether it's with your partners, with your responsibilities, and knowing what you signed up for, creating a plan, right? What's the larger message here? Because I think there's an underlining message for everyone that's trying to have it all in their own universe.
I think we should stop trying to have it all. I think, do you know anyone that has it all? I don't. I think it's trying to achieve, you know, on the spectrum of having it all, the most, you know, for the most part. And what is really meaningful to you, and how do you, you know, what is the path to get to that goal? And there are sacrifices that everyone's going to have to make, and is choosing, you know, which sacrifices are worth it or not. And I think, you know, embracing fear, embracing the path not taken. And again, knowing that you can't prime your way to success, I think is something that you can say, you know what? The journey is so much more valuable than the goal. I can't tell you how often, you know, I used to go to my own trade shows, literally set them up with the poles, put them in the back of my Zip car, do the order forms, run the credit card transactions, ship the product, call the people when they wouldn't pay me. And there's a sensory experience that you get that as you get further and further away from it, you just miss. And so I think each step along the way as an entrepreneur, you should enjoy those steps, because that's the sensory experience that we're probably all seeking by being entrepreneurs in the first place.
I love listening to designers describe their path to growth, because it really sounds like a tech entrepreneur. And sometimes in the tech world, we think those pains and those challenges are so unique to what we go through. And there's so many parallels. How much you have to fight, how people don't believe you at first. Sometimes even your parents don't believe you at first, out of fear or just disbelief. And they ask you, can you just get a job? Right?
Yes.
Did that happen to you?
Yes.
So what is your advice for those who want to fight this battle of creating their own disruption story?
In all areas except dating, no is just the beginning of yes.
I like that a lot.
We put that quote on our Instagram, and the amount of people that were offended by it, they're like, no is not the beginning of yes in a relationship or on a date. And I was like, whoa, I didn't mean that. I meant in entrepreneurship. We get told no all the time. And it's what you do with that. It's not taking that as like, okay, block door, let me turn. It's no, I'm going to keep knocking.
This is good. I love it. Thank you for sharing. And now it's time for us to wrap up with our top list. So it's a little quick fire segment to wrap up the show. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do this. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. So, top goal for the year?
To keep pivoting and moving to as much of a direct-to-consumer model as we can while maintaining a really healthy wholesale.
So refreshing to hear someone talking about pivot without any fear or hesitation. Kudos for that. Top inspiration?
Travel. I think that as part of my job, I travel a lot. I get to see lots of different places, cultures, food, shopping. And so I'm always stimulated by that.
Shopping. Okay, fine. So what is the top purchase they've done recently?
I love Isabel Marant. So I would just say a pair of shoes.
Nice. I love when I know designers favorite designers. top books.
That's something that I'll get to do when my kids are older. I would say as far as the balance question, there is no time to read, but my son is about to read and I was like, oh, then we can read together and then I'll get to read books. So I'm on a hiatus from reading other than Flipboard and news.
You should try Alice in the Wonderland. That's great. Top guilty pleasure.
There is a fundraising company called World's Finest Chocolate. Yeah. Do you know about it?
It's a great name.
It is the world's finest chocolate. If you happen to be selling that chocolate and I see you in the street, I look like a crazy person. And I run up to these little girls and I'm like, give me the box. I'll take the whole thing. And their like eyes light up. So I've been lucky. I think there's a hub near our company because there's a lot of girls selling this chocolate and I'm constantly just buying the boxes.
Can you please save me one next time?
I have 20 at my office. So next time you come, remind
yes.
me.
Yes, I'll be there on Monday. Top fear?
Well, That's good. I have an irrational fear of zombies and killers. So I will never live in a house because I'm convinced that they will get me. Don't ask. Could be failing and going out of business. That's not my fear.
So that's why you did not follow Yuri to the burbs.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I recently said to my husband, if we get a safe room where the metal goes up and we're locked in, then I'll live in a house. And he's like, you're insane. So.
What is the top item in your bucket list?
I would love at some point, and I know it's not anywhere in the near future, to take a year off and travel the world with my children and just see things and experience things that they'll never, you know, get to see all in one lump sum, and that I could just sort of detach for a minute and just sort of regroup.
Nice. And what do you consider top fashion faux pas?
Whether you're wearing a platform or a pair of shoes that you should not have put on because they hurt your feet, and that limp, that awkward gait.
Yes, yes.
At the end of the night, I'm just like, just wear flats. Or when you have to hold on to a friend because of that limp, is just, it drives me crazy. There's a woman in our building, and I see her doing the awkward walk at the beginning of the day, and I just think to myself, it's not going to get better by the end.
Oh, gosh. So I asked you to think of a top inspiration. I don't know if it's a quote that you have. What can you share
quote
with us?
I already shared it. It was no is just the beginning of yes. Another one I often say is you have to go into your life and your work being as fearless as you can, because even if you fail, you've learned something and you've taken something out of it that you can go back again stronger.
Rebecca, I am so happy you made time to come here today. I know it's a busy day and I barely have any voice left. Thanks for bearing with me. I'm so happy you all join us today. So thank you so much for being part of this episode of Top Talk, our number two. So we've been talking to fashion powerhouse Rebecca Minkoff at South by Southwest in Austin. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thank you so much for listening. So when I launched Top Talk, one of the goals was really understanding how innovative leaders achieve their goals and overcome their challenges. For me, this interview certainly got the mission accomplished. This is it for this episode. I'm Liz Basseler, and I hope you join us next time for more Top Talk.
This has been Top Talk, presented by Fashion Is Your Business. To suggest guests or content for the show, or to become a sponsor, email us at podcast@toptalkpodcast.com. Keep up with the show on social media at Top Talk Podcast. Episodes available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, along with our website, toptalkpodcast.com. Top Talk is a presentation of Fashion Is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2017, all rights reserved. No portion of the episode may be distributed or published without the express written permission of the producers. Thank you for listening.